The key, ooh, this is good. The key to destroy unbelief is not me calling you up and praying for you and casting out unbelief, because you can't cast out unbelief because it's not a spirit. Unbelief is a mindset that's in agreement with the enemy instead of in agreement with God. Okay? Unbelief is a mindset that is in agreement with the enemy and not agreement with God. Therefore, it hinders the Holy Spirit from operating, even when Jesus Christ himself was the one operating in the Holy Spirit. But just so God can put the balance on, if you really read that scripture, he rebuked his disciples for their unbelief when they were asked to minister. So this can go both ways. This can come from the unbelief. Jesus himself, he didn't rebuke himself and say, I didn't have enough belief to heal in my hometown. Do you see? I'm trying to show you that there's no simple 1, 2, 3 things. For everything you see on this side, there's a this side. When people say, well, you don't have enough faith. Well, the Bible says you don't have enough power. Okay, do you get that? See, red belt, that's why thank you for doing that, because I don't like doing the teacher thing. You pull it out and I can go for it. To his disciples, he rebuked them and said, you couldn't get this demon out because of your unbelief. He said it to the disciples. So don't always blame the other person. But then he also says the reason that he couldn't do miracles himself was because of their unbelief. So to really get some miracles here, we got two things going. The best environment to get a miracle is when people have truth to set them free, which are all the tapes. When you help people learn to tear down their unbelief. And at the same time, you're growing in God to tear down your unbelief, so that you can move in the power of God. Boy, when you get both of those things going, we're going to get some miracles. See, we get both, because it's both. They're both in there. God's saying both. Obviously, if somebody completely will not believe and does not believe, they will not get a miracle from God, because Jesus himself was not able to bring forth those kind of miracles and will never do beyond where Jesus went. We'll do greater works, but I honestly believe that he's talking about in number. He's talking about he saw the internet coming, he saw television coming, he saw stadiums coming, big sound systems coming, and he said, greater works than these will you do. I don't know of anyone who's done a greater work than whatever, 3 days in the grave and pulled up to life. How much greater do you get? I mean, they're going to be mad at you at some point if you pull them from heaven from longer than that. Maybe snatch them from hell, they might be okay, but the Bible says it's for each man to die once and then judgment. So God's not, you know what, I'm just saying, he's really talking about the spectacular amount of miracles and what we'll see. That's what I believe, okay? Now, when you have an area of unbelief, as Margaret does, and all of us do in certain areas, what God is saying, what that man cried out, I like this, we saw the man that she talked about, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So the first thing you have to do is be real. Lord, I'm here because I believe. Let's say you're Benny Hinn and you're really there for a healing miracle. That you're even there declares like that man, Lord, I believe. But when you're sitting there and you're not feeling anything or nothing's happening, then you might recognize, Lord, help my unbelief. Okay? And God didn't rebuke him. How did God help his unbelief? This is the kind of questions I like. This is my little God teach me your ways brain. When she told me she was doing this teaching, first thing I thought of, you know, I know in there somewhere it says, Lord, help my unbelief. What did he do? And truthfully, I didn't have a chance to look it up between now and then. I just didn't get to it. So what did he do to help that man's unbelief? Don't y'all think like that? He did the miracle. He helped his unbelief good, didn't he? All right. There's a key in that for you. Look at the miracles he's done. Look at the miracles he's done. Recount the miracles that he has done for you. That's what David did. So one way to get rid of unbelief is count the things God has done for you personally. Let me encourage you, and this is just me adding this. Don't look at what he's done. No, don't look at what he has done or not done for someone else. Because for everything that he's done for someone, you will find 5,000 plus that didn't get it. Now look at this, verse 20. First of all, this is a key to if you're going to get your miracle. Start 19. If no matter how long you're going through something, no matter how long you're waiting, if you do not weaken in your believing, if you're ministering to somebody and you can tell that they're losing believing because, let's say, the cancer is getting worse and not better, I can almost tell you they're losing the battle. We got to start being real. It's not an automatic, I prayed for you, I laid hands on you, you have it. So we have to begin to have, we have to at least have the wisdom that they had in the early church or when they walked with Jesus to say, help my unbelief. We stand and proclaim that we have faith when we don't. We won't humble ourselves. We've bought into wrong doctrine that we can think ourselves healed. Faith is a real substance. Faith is a real, just like air. You're breathing air. Air is the, I believe air is the reflection. Everything on earth has a reflection of a heavenly truth. I think our breathing air is that reflection. We don't see it, but we just believe that we're okay and we can keep breathing. But if all the air was sucked out of the room, you couldn't see that, but you would be dead in a very short amount of time. Okay? So what I'm saying, it's real even though you can't see it. Faith is the same way. Faith is a substance. It is real. It's a spiritual substance like air is on the earth. And if it's really there, it's really there. And if it's not there, it's not there. And if it's not there, you can't talk it into being there. You can't wish it into being there. You can't shake somebody enough, speak in tongues over them enough, scream scripture at them enough to put faith there. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, hope, earnestly believing for, earnestly expecting, knowing it's going to happen. Faith. Faith is the result of the substance. It's a substance. Faith is the substance that you must earnestly expect. Faith is some things hoped for, but not yet seen. Faith is a supernatural substance that must be present to bring a miracle. Okay? Now, how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And that's two kinds of hearing. The logos word or the written Word of God can actually put people into bondage and fear if you're reading it with your intellect. You can debate everything in here. Okay? The Rhema word is only really given to born again children of God. Now he can, you know, do something supernatural like he did with Paul and bring forth a Rhema word and praise God. You can't limit God, so just know it. But overall, the Rhema word is God's supernatural word being made real for you. Which means you have to spend time seeking the Lord, time crying out to God, time in his presence, so that he can give you a Rhema word. So he can give you a word. Now think of every time God gave me a word for my son's healing, think of it this way. It increased my faith. The substance, whatever amount of substance of faith that I needed to see that miracle was getting stronger. So I had more time. I had time. Abraham had a lot of time to grow in faith. To receive this miracle. That's the difference. He was growing in his relationship with God. He was growing in trusting God. He was growing in faith. If you're growing in faith, you will get your miracle. If time is stealing your faith, bringing in doubt and unbelief, disappointment, causing you to think like the world, you will actually, in that time that you could be growing in faith, you're depleting faith until the point where there is no faith, and whatever the enemy is trying to do, he'll do. Does everybody understand that? Okay? So, if you have unbelief, it comes from believing the devil. Believing the devil always produces fear and confusion. So in any area where you know that you're honest enough to know, I don't have faith for this, you need to actually stop and say, well, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit lives in me. God lives in me. I do have a relationship with God. I do have faith. But there is a hindrance here of fear that will not allow that faith to break through it. God, help my unbelief. Give me miracles. Give me teachings. Even for Margaret, when she would go in to a store, I think God is so funny. He knows she reads that poofy magazine that I wouldn't look at. What is it, Town and Country? What is it? Country Living or whatever, you know. He knows she's going to read that. The Holy Spirit's setting her up. First, the Holy Spirit goes before she even starts the teaching and gets this commercial made and gets it stuck in a magazine, puts it right where he's sending her to go, and gets her to open it. God loves that stuff. There are angels all around her going, get her to get that magazine. Get her. Here's Margaret. I don't need any more magazines. I got 100. And it's like, oh, this is a pretty picture. And the angel's like, that's a pretty picture. Oh, that is a pretty picture. She grabs the magazine. Well, I'm kind of busy. I need to rush home. Oh, no. You flip here. Flip. The angel's like, how do we get the front page flipped over? Here, make her look that way. We'll flip it over here. Who knows what's going on? But when she looks, it says believe. And she had spiritual eyes and spiritual ears enough to go, whoa, this is from God. Now, if she ran home and told somebody, well, look what God did. God didn't do that. Intellect. You know, God's going to deal with it. But she knows he did it. She knows he went ahead of her and did it. She knows that is what makes your faith build and not weaken. See, Margaret, you're going to get it because you're not being weakened in your faith. And you're watching God's hand. See, that's even the same really as a rhema word. I can trust the God who's real. I can't trust a God that's hid knowledge. I can trust a God who's real. And we need to have eyes to see. And that's one thing about the dullness, which we're not going to get to tonight. It's too late. But next week we'll talk about the dullness. Because this dullness stops you from seeing what God's doing. Dullness stops you. Intellect is really being dull of mind. Carnal minded. It stops you. See, I see God in everything. I just have a blast in life because nothing can happen almost that I don't see God in. I'm not making, I see God. My eyes are open. My ears are in tune. And it's like amazing to me, the handprint of God and the footprint of God and the way he orchestrates things and what he does. Even for all you to show up tonight when I'm asking this thing and watching this and turn around, then all of you are here, a lot of new people. And it's like, God, you're so cool. You are already sending the angels to get them here and dealing with them, making them tune on the radio, whatever, and rather whatever, and you're dealing. He's so cool. We really should never, ever have unbelief because our God is so awesome and big. But faith is getting that personal relationship to kick into gear where the revelation in favor of knowing how real he is outweighs the fear of what the enemy's done in the past to make us not believe. And so that one scripture that said to be fully persuaded, to persuade means my mind has to agree with my spirit that always agrees with the Spirit of God. My mind has got to submit itself to my spirit man who already is one with Christ if I'm a born-again believer. So the only thing that unbelief really is it's Satan's way of things he's strategically done in your life, things he's set up, ways he's hurt you, things he's purposely done to cause your brain, your soul, to be persuaded that God is a liar, that God isn't real, that his word isn't true, that there's no help for you, that things can't work for you. All these things he's done, he's piled on some of you big. that he's piled on and piled on. Why? So that you cannot be fully persuaded that what God has promised you personally and in his word will come to pass for you. Okay? So the enemy in unbelief is your mind remembering and recounting the things that the enemy has done, and you not dividing that or separating that from reality of who things are in Christ. So many people, I don't know, it's Betty here. One day, Betty was just she was just going through some stuff, and she was, oh man, she was just going off at her mouth about, I don't care if this happens and that happens and this. And she's telling me, for all these years, I've cried out to God. For all these years, I did this. And I really had a compassion for her because I know it's been very difficult, some of the things she's been through. But I stopped her, and I like one of those slaps, you know, shut up a minute. And I said, you didn't know God until last year. So who cares what happened for the 20-some years when you didn't even know God? What's happened since you've known God?